What up, y'all? This is Rome. Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa Sports Podcast. A lot of things happened this past weekend. NBA, NCAA, men's and women's, and of course, F1. Since we did our F1 pod, big turnout, big positive reactions from all around. It seems like everyone wants us to talk about F1 because we got the most listeners, like the big boost of listeners in over a two-day period since the NFL season. And that's already been a few months ago. So we did promise we're going to be talking F1 throughout this year, the 2025 season. We're definitely going to stick to it. So we recap the Chinese Grand Prix with McLaren dominating and us waking up the next day to find out Ferrari got double DQ'd, double penetrated, double hit. So that was a shocker. We recapped the round of 64 as well as 32 and predict what's going to happen in the Sweet 16 and who is going to make it to the Final Four. We briefly talk about women's college basketball. Basically, the top teams are just straight up dominating. As we're recording, we just did find out that Juju Watkins just tore her ACL. Which is a big bummer. That pretty much just shatters their championship chances. And they're a really good team. It's them, UCLA, UConn, South Carolina. So the heavy hitters are hitting. But either way, though, men's and women's, it's all the big schools. The big schools are in it to win it. There's no Cinderellas. So in my opinion, not as fun. I do like to have a couple Cinderellas in there. SEC with their seven teams in there, Big 12 with four, at least on the men's side. So we will see what happens in the final rounds. And then we talk NBA really briefly. AD, I can't believe he came back to the Mavs and they picked up a win. They're right there. And I think they might inch in. If he's going to be playing the rest of the year, that's 10 games. I imagine he's just too good and talented. And Phoenix, they've been squabbling around 500 all year, right? So Aaron thinks so. I think so. Not sure what Jay-Z thinks, but it's going to be an interesting finish to find out what's the pecking order, not only in the middle of the Western Conference, because you got the Lakers, Grizz, everyone fighting between like that 3-5 seed. Then you got like the 6-8 seeds fighting. Who's actually going to get that final six spot and who's going to be in the play-in? And then who's going to be fighting for those last three spots? 9 and 10, because 11's going to barely miss out. They're barely going to miss out. So 10 games left in the NBA season. We're coming down to the wire. And we cover it all on this pod. So don't go anywhere. We got everyone back in studio this week, Jason, Aaron, and myself, Rome. We got a lot to cover. A lot has happened in the past week. We got F1, the Chinese Grand Prix. We have college basketball already in two rounds. We know who's in the Sweet 16 for men's. And I think the women's are wrapping up tonight as we record. So we'll briefly talk over that as well. And a big injury coming out of USC, which is breaking news, I guess. I totally missed it. I was on the road. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then a little NBA action as there's been some stuff happening over the last few weeks, and we haven't really talked about it, so we're a little behind the ball, so to speak. But to kick things off, the Chinese Grand Prix, we'll start there and then go backwards. Jason, if you want to give your two cents about the Australian, but I stayed up with my daughter at least and watched the first 20 to 30 laps, and then after I took, like, I think, like my third shot of Jameson, I had some people over, and it was just a lot going on. I really needed that third shot. That's when I knocked out. My daughter knocked out my arms, and then I knocked out shortly afterwards. Woke up in and out with like 10 to 5 laps to go, so I caught the end. But basically, it seemed like all the action was in the beginning, in the first lap, and then when everyone had their pit stops, and then the last few laps. So I think I'm team McLaren. I think that's my team. I'm going all in on McLaren. I'm going to buy some McLaren gear. I like both the drivers. I like the swag. I was going for Lando. I like Lando, you know, since last year. So, you know, I figured why not go all in and 1-2 punch. I think just from the get-go, they're the early odd favorites to win the Constructors. And I think I was talking with Aaron a little bit earlier. He likes Piastri. I probably fumbled his name, but he likes him to potentially win the Drivers' Championship this year. But crazy stuff. What do you think about the race, Jason?
Yeah, we talked in the F1 preview. I'm going to be honest. I forgot when we had our guest on talking through what my predictions were. But McLaren was the favorite coming into the year. Lando was the favorite for the Drivers' Championship. McLaren had the best car as you ended 2024. And then coming into 2025, I think they were just, you know, head and above that. They knew they had the best car. They had probably the best driver pairing as far as comfortability with the car. They were an unchanged driver lineup, young driver lineup that, you know, basically has two budding superstars in it. Drama last year as Lando was chasing Verstappen for the title and Oscar was getting, you know, some, you know, favorable, you know, qualifying starts, and Oscar was ahead and Lando was chasing for the title. So I think that'll be probably the drama we follow throughout the year. I'm pretty much gonna, excuse me, Rome, you know, just nothing to sneeze at right now.
Bless your soul, Rome. You
know, my bad. You know.
So yeah, great start of the entry to F1. Rome choosing the team with the best car, and you're gonna probably have the most dominant season probably right now, but as a team perspective. But I do think, you know, Aaron liking Piastri, you liking Lando, both great choices. McLaren does things different than Red Bull, where just they refuse to say who like the number one driver is. I think if you would have asked like a year and a half ago, like Lando's the number one driver, he had like, you know, the built-in, you know, pedigree with McLaren, and Piastri was kind of a signee as like a hot prospect from Alpine at the time. But, you know, Piastri, he doesn't take crap, man. And if he's got the performance, he's going to go ahead. And McLaren, if you go back into F1 history, you know, they're a team that, you know, kind of historically doesn't declare a number one driver. If you go to Prost and Senna in the late 80s, early 90s, I know we're going a little F1 history right now, but, you know, Prost was a multi-time world champion. They bring in Ayrton Senna in, who hadn't won a title, but it was basically like the raw, like driver's driver, just kind of the crazy guy. And these guys were just battling out as two McLarens for the title. And it created tons of team controversies because Prost ended up leaving McLaren to go to Ferrari just because, you know, just the battling between teammates. So there's a history within the McLaren brand of having this stuff. And yeah, I think when you got the best car, unlike Red Bull, which, hey, everything clear way for Verstappen, he's not taking any crap from anyone. There's probably a real title fight here. Mercedes had this a little bit in the mid 2014, 2015. Lewis coming off of one of his couple championships with Mercedes, he had Nico Rosberg as a teammate who ended up winning the driver's title. It was kind of the break in Lewis's run there for a long time of winning the driver title. So, you know, it's been out there before. I think Lando had the great first race, but Oscar was right behind him. The rain, I mean, if you go back to the Australian Grand Prix, man, I really wanted to talk about that so bad last week, but we just had stuff from a recording standpoint. But man, like that race overall, you know, just the pure chaos of the Australian Grand Prix with the rain, you know, the four or five rookies and even a veteran getting knocked out in that race. But Piastri was right behind Lando that entire race. And if it wasn't for rain coming at an opportune time, Piastri, both, and Norris both went off the track. Piastri got the unlucky thing where he wound up in the grass, had to reverse, ended up salvaging some points at the end of the day. But, I mean, they are basically 1-2 if you look throughout the year. I think in the Chinese Grand Prix, it was proven they have the best car. It may come down to really qualifying throughout the year as, hey, who qualifies better? Who's going to be the lead car in the Grand Prix? And then they're kind of holding stagnant positions. But going to be tough to beat. I think the most disappointing thing right now as a Lewis Hamilton fan has been Ferrari the first two races. I mean, if you go into F1 history, Ferrari, I don't know what to compare Ferrari to. If they're like, kind of like the Montreal Canadiens, where they have like 20 plus Stanley Cups, but just have been like somewhat irrelevant for a while and they don't make the right personnel moves. I'm trying to think of another comp, you know, to it. I don't know if you got a basketball comp for it, too. But
you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, basically, right?
It could be the Steelers, yeah. I mean, that could be a good thing. We're just It's a legacy brand. It's the most known brand in Formula One is Ferrari. But just if you watch Drive to Survive and Rome, when you get into that, it's just constantly questioning about Ferrari's strategy. And if you looked at the first race, they left Lewis and Charles out like a lap or two too long, and they got freaking smoked while they were on slicks in the rain, and everyone just blew them by. They ended up finishing like 8th and 10th in there. And then now coming out of this race, like the sprint race, everyone's feeling good, man. Lewis is on the pole. I'm feeling good. I'm in Vegas watching the sprint race at midnight. It's in the sports book. Lewis starts at the pole, wins the sprint. Man, it's a big thing. Hey, this is going to be Lewis. Ferrari's back. They're going to really challenge it to McLaren. Then you get to the race and qualifying. They don't qualify as good as McLaren. Then they're just kind of sitting whatever. They hit each other on the first, like, first or second
first lap.
Turn.
It was the first lap, yeah.
First lap.
It was the first turn.
Yeah, that first corkscrew turn. And so they hit each other, isn't there. But then somehow Charles has better speed than Lewis with a partial, you know, front wing with missing that. Then the race finishes. They finish 5th and 6th or whatever. I go to bed. Aaron goes to bed. I wake up and I'm just like, they got disqualified, both Ferraris. And I'm just like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And that's 100% like on a team failure, not on either of the drivers. So, man, I think that was the team. I think I said in the preview from a constructor standpoint, Ferrari was chasing McLaren and they passed Red Bull late in the season. They have probably, you know, they have the greatest driver in history in Lewis Hamilton. They got another young gun in Charles Leclerc who's been waiting to take that step, was pretty good last year, won a few races. And it just felt like Ferrari is going to be the team to challenge McLaren. But coming two races out of the box, you know, they're just, I mean, they might be 5th in the constructors or something right now. Mercedes actually is number 2 in the constructors, which if I would have told you that at the start of the season, like Kimi Antonelli, the 18-year-old driving for Mercedes, like just stellar results in his
He's
first
good,
two.
Man. He's good.
Yeah, it's the prodigy there. So, I mean, that'd be the guy if Rome's going to jump in right now. You can be the Kimi Antonelli fan right now, just taking the kid from the jump. But Ferrari's been the most disappointing. It's tough to see, you know, what they've become, because I think now if they don't get things fixed, McLaren's going to probably run away with this thing.
Well, it's crazy is though, Leclerc's car, so they weigh it afterwards after they double the fuel out, right? Just being 1 kilogram short of it, that's so close. That's like pretty nitty gritty. I didn't know they did that. And then Hamilton's car being disqualified because the excessive plank wear. Well, like, was it just like too drop down low? Like, what's the deal there? Like, they say we're being intentional, but if it was too low, obviously it's intentional.
Yeah, I mean, you account for some wear throughout the race and stuff, to even right. How much the car goes through. I was watching some Sky Sports stuff like Sunday morning, and they were going through, and one of the commentators holds up his driver's license. He's like, the thickness of the driver's license is how much they failed that inspection by. So it's like, that's the level of precision these cards are made with and what they have to pass through. So it seems like, hey, you know, you effed up, and they did. I mean, this is your freaking job to get this right. But like, you're talking about the advantage and where it is, the advantage is like, you got to draw the line somewhere. And that level extra downforce, the lower the car is to the ground, it provides it could provide that much more speed to be effective. And so it's a total team failure. But yeah, when you come down to it, and you're talking like a kilogram for Charles Leclerc and like less than a millimeter for Lewis Hamilton, like, yeah, it freaking sucks.
Let's put it this way. Team Ferrari, if they are cheating, they're not doing a very good job of it. Because Jason pointed out these first two races, they have not looked good. Hamilton, race one in the Australian Grand Prix, a lot of negative communication there. On the headset, you know, hey, I'll do it. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'll do it. DRS, whatever. I'll hit it when I'm ready. Kind of a conservative race. Rome, you said first, second turn here in lap one, the Ferraris collide. You know, they're basically running 4th, 5th, 6th throughout the race. Midway through, Hamilton basically gives way to Charles, who comes and takes the lead because he's running faster. He's running quicker. And was running an okay race. I think it was lap 50, 51. Verstappen passes him, takes over, 4th there?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, Team McLaren's running really, really good. Jason mentioned the first race. They were 1 and 2. And getting ready, you know, they weren't ready to declare who was going to win because they were kind of asking him, like, hey, is, you know, Oscar going to take a backseat to Lando? What's going to go on? And Zach Brown was like, hey, like, when it's time to race, let's roll, let's race. And then, you know, they both kind of had skid out, and then Oscar went out into the grass and then ended up finishing, what, eighth, I think, or something like that.
Yep. And so, that was one of the bigger things, Oscar just not giving up. I mean, a lot of times you see these guys in Formula One, if they get into a – you can get to a certain thing, a track where your car just basically beaches because of how low these things are to the ground. And, you know, he could have given up. They were in the grass, couldn't move the car, you know, put the thing in reverse. It seems kind of logical, but a lot of times these guys don't think of something like that. And he was just like, no, I'm going to get this thing out. Was able to recover, come back, get a few points. I mean, those are the things at the end of the season where you're coming down to one or two points, you know. You know, you don't know when something happens where, you know, Lando could get no points in a race. And now, hey, these one or two Oscars scraped away in Australia may come to be beneficial. But it's going to be a couple of these things throughout the year if it's going to be that tight between those two cars, you know, where these points are coming from. But, yeah, it's been – I would say it's been a heck of a start to the season for Formula One because you're not just – you don't have one driver really dominated, and you got two from a team, but you've had some pleasant surprises, I think, in some of these races for some key performances too. Like if you went to the first race, just the final standings, the different teams that were like in that top 10, you had Nico Hülkenberg, who's for Kick Sauber, like they were like 19th and 20th the entire year last year. And this guy's first race with this team, which is pretty much a bottom of barrel team, finishes seventh. You know, Alex Albon finished fifth in the Williams there. Williams is tied for it would be constructors with Ferrari right now.
I like the way Williams is driving right now, Team Williams. They're driving pretty good.
They're good. I mean, I think I said in the preseason preview, I'm a big fan of James Vowles, the team principal there. He was one of the chief guys at Mercedes when Lewis and Toto and everyone was at their heyday there. So, you know, he knows from a technical aspect of the car, and bringing in Carlos Sainz, who's really like, you know, he's a top tier driver for a mid team, and Alex Albon really just hasn't gotten the shot. I mean, they probably can, you know, do a lot in the midfield, and they get a bunch of these points because, you know, you're going to have the McLarens up there. You're probably going to have both Mercedes. Going to have Verstappen, probably both Ferraris. Okay, cool. That's like, you know, that's seven of the cars. Now there's a lot of battle for that eighth, ninth, and tenth for these scrappy points throughout the week. You know, every week does Williams get some points? Two DNFs so far for Fernando Alonso, former two-time champion with Aston Martin. Like, he hasn't finished either race so far.
Oh, he went out in the first round, right?
The second.
First lap. Yeah, first or second lap. Like, his brakes went out right away, right? They were on fire.
Yep. Yeah, brakes were on fire, and then he was one of the ones who crashed in the rain. He was, you know, the 40-year-old veteran, but all the rookies went out in Australia, but he went out too. And so that's been disappointing because Aston Martin...
That sucks. Yeah.
Aston Martin 2 years ago was the second-best car in the field behind Red Bull. And now they're, like, the sixth or seventh best car right now. So this is not going to be a good year for Aston Martin. And so you got an opportunity in the midfield where I know it's a weird thing in Formula One where a lot of sports, hey, you're talking about who finishes in third, fourth, and fifth place. But when there's, you know, money on the line for the constructors at the end of the season, these teams that, you know, can get a seventh place finish that normally don't finish there is going to mean a lot. And I think that's where we're going to see some very interesting battles throughout the season.
One thing I remembered in the race was they were kind of showing all the communication between the drivers and their coach, I guess.
Probably the racing engineer generally is talking to them. Yeah.
Andrew was over, so he was telling me all about that stuff, how Hamilton's adjusting to his new guy because he was basically with his guy his whole career and didn't take his guy over to Ferrari. So there's still a little animosity there. And I guess he's not getting on the right foot with his current guy now. But one thing I do remember was Lando, he didn't want to come out for the pit stop just quite yet.
Yep.
And they told him to come out, and they totally butchered that thing. They couldn't put on the, I think it was a front right tire, and it added like another 3-4 seconds to it. And he was so pissed. He's like, what the fuck? This is why I didn't want to come out. And then luckily he was able to still, you know, make ground really quickly, but really rough transition on that one.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about the racing engineer stuff when you're going through it. I know Lewis at the end of the race kind of, you know, he kind of dismissed some of it going on, but I think the drivers like different communication. I know if I was freaking driving like they were, I don't want someone freaking talking to me the entire time. Like, dude, I'm trying to go at 180, 200 miles an hour right now and do all this shit, and you keep telling me about whatever. Lewis, I think, is just a guy, and he's learned that, like, hey, how much information is too much information? Like, what are they able to process? Tell me what I need to know, when I need to know. But I think there's other drivers out there that, hey, they like the constant communication. They're looking for that. But when you're a seven-time world champion, you've been with the team a long time, I think there's a level of, I think, learning within there that it's going to happen. And I think the second race was probably much to do about nothing. I Lewis said something too about the way Max Verstappen talks to his guys. Cause I mean, Max Verstappen's close to just cussing his guys out every time they say anything to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do remember also, I think it was Albon, his guys were warning him about something and he told him, don't worry about it. I'm the best driver here.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, forget it. Do what you want to do.
there's some great shit. I think it was the Australia race, but I think Charles Leclerc had me dying because there's been some funny shit they said. Right, I think there was like a water line, like I think it's just where they can drink water. It like broke, and he's like, "There's a bunch of water like in my seat." Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And the engineer's like, "I think it's water," and he's like, "Okay, let's add that to the book or whatever," because it's like, yeah, I told you it was fucking water. That's what it
yeah.
is.
Even the announcers were like, yeah, I think his water like thing in there broke or something. But yeah, I mean, Hamilton seemed to, you know, you mentioned Rome, first race, like, hey, I'll do it. Like, you know, don't bug me. And, you know, Lando seems to do a lot of communication back and forth. They seem to like it. I mean, obviously the first race, there was a lot of, hey, lap 42, expect, you know, rain class one. I started figuring out class one, class two, class three rain based off that, like, hey, you know, class one rain between laps 42 and 43, turns like 16 and whatever. So that was a lot of communication going on in that race between the engineer teams. But yeah, I mean, Ferrari just has not put it together. We'll see what happens going forward. Team McLaren looks great. I like what they're doing. Verstappen, he's gotten off to a really bad start in the last one, but you know, held steady. He's a really good racer. And then George Russell, you know, he may be the pretty boy of them all, as he was called, Handsome George, there in
Handsome
China.
Handsome George.
In
really?
China. Yeah. They were all so, over in China.
George Russell thinks he's James Bond, man. The way he walks around, he's English. He thinks he's James Bond.
I like that
Bond.
Little jacket he wears, a little like windbreaker. A little windbreaker jacket.
I don't know who anyone looks like. And Andrew was pointing out, like, oh, this guy looks like an AI bot, you know, thinks like he's like badass. I'm like, dude, this guy looks like he came out of the Matrix. I was watching, you know, the pregame or whatever you call it. By the way, Sky, is it always that terrible before a race? Like, they were kind of jumbling and it looked like they didn't know what the hell they were doing for interviews and just running around. It was a bad production.
Were you watching the grid walk?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the grid walks at the end where they just randomly meet people and try to talk to them.
The grid walks kind of famous. Where Martin Brundle's just like, he starts on the grid and he's just going around like that's for just randomly trying to talk to people. It's kind of a famous bit they kind of did.
Is it?
Sometimes he doesn't know who people is. Like, man, he messed up somebody super bad in Miami. I forgot who it was. Like,
last year it was like Dwight Howard or some NBA player, right?
It was an NBA player that he messed up. What it was? He's like, this is so and so, and it wasn't. So I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a thing. I don't know. I overall like the Sky broadcast. I think it's a little bit different,
rough. But
that's a unique thing if you're watching the grid walk. I will say tons of storylines. I know we're talking about it. We're doing a lot on F1. I will say the one biggest thing going into Japan and that's been talking about, I think today, has been Liam Lawson. So the second Red Bull driver right now basically has finished 19th or 20th in both races. And so Red Bull basically got rid of Sergio Perez at the end of the year because he was not making out of the first qualifying, wasn't scoring any points. Verstappen's basically a one-man show. Red Bull doesn't give the Red Bull seat to Yuki Tsunoda, who'd been pretty much the top driver at the kind of the JV, you know, V-Carb Racing Bulls team. He didn't get the second Red Bull seat. They gave it to Liam Lawson, who kind of just did like a half season with V-Carb last year. And he has been awful so far. And there's already rumors of basically replacing him two races in and kind of like it's really his first full season as he kind of ran like a half season here or there.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be some storylines there where like, hey, Red Bull, you know, they got Verstappen, but they're not scoring points on the second seat at all. And really you've seen the past 2-3 years really a problem with the second Red Bull car. And yeah, that's turned into a real problem for any chance of them being able to win the constructors with Verstappen not being as dominant.
The Japanese one might be the last one if he doesn't turn around.
Yeah. I mean, there's talks going into it because Yuki Tsunoda, who's basically hometown, you know, basically he's sponsored by Honda. This is his home country race. You know, do they throw him in this seat for that and make the switch now? I think it's probably too early, but I mean, yeah, I think Red Bull has done this before with a young driver. They had Pierre Gasly, who drives for Alpine now, as the second Red Bull with Max. And halfway through the season, they replaced him with Alex Albon at one point. And then after the end of the season, neither of the guys got retained, and that's when they brought in Sergio Perez later on the line. So they've done this before with Red Bull Junior drivers that have been in the second seat and haven't been successful. It could happen again this year.
Yeah, Lawson has not looked good. I mean, he's basically starting out of the pit for this race after qualifying. So yeah, he's struggling.
Awesome. We got the Japanese Grand Prix April 5th. That's in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Or basically a week and a half. Yeah, two weeks. So we'll have to do a preview for that. And I think that's on a Saturday night.
It is a 10 p.m. race on April 5th.
Perfect. Do I have my daughter? I don't know. I do. I guess we'll have to watch some F1. All right, cool. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little basketball. Okay, time to talk some NCAA men's college basketball before we talk briefly about the women's college basketball, since apparently no one else is watching it but me. Quick antidote. I was telling Aaron earlier on a quick call when I was in a row that me and my daughter were watching, you know, a lot of the games in and out of it, but not like super dedicated because, you know, it's not football season. So she kind of knows once football season's back, dad's glued to the TV for Saturday and Sunday, and she's down with it. But we were watching the game. She liked a lot of the games. I put on women's, and it was who was it? I think it was the UConn game. Paige Beckers, you know, she's great. And she's like, I don't want to watch this. I'm like, why not? We watch guys all day. She's like, I don't want to watch girls play basketball. And again, dude, I just can't figure it out why she doesn't want to see girls play basketball. But just told me to turn it off. I ended up putting like Jurassic Park, the new one, or something like that, which is kind of a weird movie. We didn't finish it, but
how old's your daughter? And you watching Jurassic Park?
Yeah, 5. We watched.
You can put on the original one back from the 90s.
We watched the new one. I was like, dude, this is kind of intense. Dude, I don't think we should be watching this. It's like a little late at night.
Which one? The Dominion?
Whatever the newest one is. I've never seen any new one besides the original one, and so I'm a little behind on the times. But I saw like they brought like the old cast back.
Yeah, it was Dominion then.
Dominion, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It feels like a knockoff National Treasure.
I guess. Yeah, I would say out of the newer trilogy, I think the first one, Jurassic World, when the first relaunch was the best one, and then the last two were forgettable to me. I think the relaunch Jurassic World was the best one.
Yeah. So there's a relaunch then?
Yeah,
so that was the... That was the relaunch. The one you watched was the third of the second
relaunch.
Trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the sixth movie.
So they have like Jurassic, yeah, 1 through 3.
I'm behind.
Yeah.
Way behind.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one.
The first okay. one and the first one or number 4 are the best. Those
yes.
two.
Those are the two.
The Never other ones are them. Kind of, you can miss them and you're not really missing much.
I still like The Lost World, I'll tell you that. Those are
the second one.
Second one. Underrated. Young Vince Vaughn in there. Julianne Moore.
All right, I'll catch up.
I got to go back and watch Lost World.
T-Rex escaping in San Diego. Underrated.
These guys don't learn in Jurassic Park. They're just going to continue like
it's a lot of money,
dinosaurs.
It's big money,
no, because,
dude.
You know, you have another new one starting a third trilogy potentially this summer with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, I'll give it a shot.
What was that?
I'll get a shot. Scarlett Johansson? I'll get a shot. She's a pretty good actress. Right. Yeah, sign me up. She is really good.
Well, I like the...
She is talented.
What is it? It's the redhead girl, right? In the new trilogy? She's pretty good. I don't know her name off the top of my head.
That is Ron Howard's daughter.
Yeah.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Great director too. She directed a few episodes of the Mandalorian TV show on Disney Plus, and probably some of the best episodes. She's a good director too.
I don't watch Star Wars, but I do like her though. Back to the tournament. By the way, we do got to talk about Yellowstone really quickly before we go, because I finally finished everything this past weekend. They released the second half of season 5, but I thought there was still like another season 5 coming up. And then all of a sudden I watched the last episode. I'm like, wait a minute, that felt like the finale. I was looking for like more episodes. I'm like, oh, that's it. So finished everything in like, what, 2-3 weeks.
All right, we can talk about it then. We got to get you on to 1883 and 1923, which is what's going on right now.
Is it good?
It's good. I will say out of the TV things this week, we're talking TV, the Severance finale.
I got to start watching
television.
Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's talking about it.
I got to watch season 2. I finished season 1 about 2 weeks ago, but yeah.
You got Severance and Paradise. Those are the two hits right now for me of the early 2025 TV experience.
All right, back to the men's Division I tournament. We're going to review Aaron's bracket. It looks like he picked a few winners. So he got Auburn in the Sweet 16. He also correctly picked Michigan State to be in there. He has Florida and Maryland, as well as Texas Tech. And that's from the South and West brackets. On the East and Midwest, he got Duke, but he has Duke going all the way to the national championship.
As do I.
Arizona, that's going to be a really good matchup. BYU and Alabama, so he knocked that out as they face each other. Houston, and is that it? And you also got Tennessee. Tennessee destroyed UCLA, man. I did not enjoy watching that game. That was not even close in the second half. It was pretty sad to watch. But overall, though, so far, though, kind of fun. There has been a couple fun upsets. I'm trying to think, like, which one was, like, the best upset of the tournament. Was it I can't read this. Was it McNeese?
McNeese State was a good upset.
That was pretty good.
I mean, first round of McNeese State, yeah, was up there. UC San Diego had Michigan on the ropes.
That was
a good game going back and forth. I think UC San Diego missed a three at the buzzer to win it. And then you had... What else did you have? Yeah, so those were Colorado State... They got that, 12-5 matchup over Memphis. That was a nice win. And then we all know how that battle, if you watched buzzer beater Maryland getting by them, probably the best game of the tournament was that one, really, so far.
Yeah, so about
Colorado State over Memphis. Yeah.
Yeah, Jason, Drake, did you see that shot from Maryland to win that game against Colorado State?
I did.
Was it a travel?
Well, here's the thing, Rome. I was in Las Vegas. I don't know if you recap for the episode I was out. I'll be honest with the listeners here. I'm not the biggest basketball fan. One of my biggest pet peeves is the lack of traveling calls when you watch basketball, because I was calling travel half of the time that I was on there, and my friends that are big college basketball guys are like, no, that's not travel, Jay. They get a step and a half. I was like, well, he took 6 steps, all right? So whatever I think is travel apparently is not traveling, Rome. So I'm not the person to ask on this question.
See, I'm pretty liberal with the traveling, although they do travel on the NBA. But, like, you're allowed to, like, step one time while you're gathering the ball. But he had it well tucked in, and they counted that next step as a gathered step, and then 2 more steps after them. Like, that's definitely travel in my book.
Not a travel in my book. Was not a travel. There's a lot of traveling that goes on. I mean, because even when guys catch passes now on fast breaks, that quote-unquote gather plus 2 steps, which is like 3 or 4, like Jason mentioned, then they dunk it, like basically from the free throw line without dribbling. Like, that's really traveling. But they don't call that really anymore. But no, I never once thought the Maryland play was travel. It didn't warrant a travel call.
I disagree. I thought they could have got some free throws out of it. That's about it, but... To count that basket too? Jesus Christ. It's a LeBron James effect here. All right. But that was a fun game, though. But not a lot of upsets here. It's been talked about on other platforms that NIL.
Well, Rome, we broke that down.
It's making college basketball better, but it's also kind of ruining the whole Cinderella thing.
Rome, I told you that Wednesday night when we were talking that the Cinderella's because you asked me, like, hey, you're taking a lot of favorites. And I said, hey, man, I think Cinderella's dead. Like, if you go to the conference tournament and everything, like, the major, major programs just have more money, more funding in them. And they got better players. And I think they're just going to win more games. And that's kind of what we've seen so far. I mean, even though Arkansas has pulled a couple upsets, I mean, they're a really, really good team. They've had some players hurt and gotten on a good run. I don't really consider them a Cinderella. I mean, there's not really a Cinderella team right now going. I mean, Mississippi's really good. BYU, a team I had getting to the Elite Eight. I think they're going to beat Bama. But they're really good, too. They had some really nice wins in the Big 12. So there's really not that Cinderella team going right now.
No, technically there is no Cinderella this year because this is the first time, I think, like in its history, or at least like in 30, 40 years, that every team that's left is from a major conference.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this like for college football, but like you're getting to the point here. How many SEC teams are in the tournament?
Well, 14.
14 SEC teams. So like you're getting to the point, and I think I heard this make news. Former ESPN president John Skipper said on one of his podcasts, "You're getting to the point here where do you need the NCAA and do the like four conferences just have their own 64 team tournament or however they want to put it, and just all their teams make it into the tournament? You don't need, you know, you don't need McNeese or Mount St. Mary's or Alabama State or you know Yale to get in. Like I'm just going to throw the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and you know whoever in this tournament, and this is what we're going to do." And make their own invitational. Like, what's the value of the, you know, the NCAA? You know, you think back in the day, and you guys, Aaron, you might know this better than me, but like the NIT used to be like the tournament for basketball, and now it's just kind of an afterthought. No one's talking about it. You know, now okay, it's the NCAA tournament. You know, where do you get to a point where the super conference type thing that we talk about for the football side of college sports? You know, where does this take over basketball, where they own this thing, and it just turns into a super league tournament that we don't care about the Cinderella. But I will say, as the Cinderella is probably aren't there and you guys aren't right about, the one thing with NIL that definitely changed, and I'm probably a little more in tune with this because of my friends root for blue blood college basketball tournaments games or teams that I had to watch the entire weekend. Kansas, number 7 seed, preseason number 1, was just losing down the stretch. A 7 seed loses to Arkansas. Hey, this is a team that's supposed to be, you know, number 1 overall seed, making their run to the Final Four every year, supposed to have the most talented players. They're down. North Carolina probably shouldn't have been in the tournament if it wasn't for a little shadiness or whatever you want to call, you know, even getting into the tournament. But, you know, North Carolina was given such a benefit of the doubt. They were an 11 seed. They were the Vegas favorite over Ole Miss. And as an 11 seed over the 6 and still, you know, lost pretty badly. Like they were down huge. The ending score was way more respectable than what that game was down the stretch. And then Rome, even your UCLA Bruins, man, like they were kind of okay the entire year, but they're also a 7 seed too. What's the talent that UCLA's got from what my friends are telling me that, I mean, they basically got the same team coming back next year with no real like big recruits coming in. So while you may have gotten rid of some of these Cinderellas and you just got big conference schools in there, some of the big basketball powerhouses of the past that you're known being in there, you know, there might be a little bit change, man. You know, you're talking about Arkansas, Texas Tech, you know, these are normally like basketball schools that are in there. You're not seeing that. Yeah. You got your Duke in there, but and Michigan State maybe, but other than that, there's been a changing of what the NIL is going to be, and are some of these football known schools going to take basketball a little more seriously? And we'll see those teams, you know, take away from some of the prestige brands of college basketball.
Well, yeah, NIL. I think you mentioned a good thing, Jason. You know, I was hearing on one of these shows they were talking about SEC football. The commissioner of the SEC conference was like, "Hey, like you're really, really good at football, but what's the one thing you want to get better at?" And it was basketball, right? So we need to go out and get better coaches. Now, if you look at the SEC, not only do they have good players in NIL now, but they have really, really good coaches too. I mean, Bruce Pearl, he's been around a little bit. He helped build Tennessee back up when they were down. Auburn, he's built them up. Alabama, Nate Oates, he's come there from, I think he was at Buffalo, a Cinderella team that he took to like the Sweet 16 like 5 years ago. Now he's got Bama contending for Sweet 16 Final Fours every year. Rick Barnes. He was at Texas getting the Final Fours. Now he's at Tennessee. These are really, really good coaches in the conference.
Calipari moving SEC schools into a pure football school.
Yeah.
Being the Walmart finance coach over there.
And then Florida, I mean, Florida kind of rotates like every decade between being a football school and a basketball school. I mean, Billy Donovan was there. They were rolling. He leaves. They've kind of disappeared. And now they're back. And football, they're not. So they're putting a lot of money into it. You know, I'm hearing anywhere from $3 to $5 million rosters for a lot of these SEC team schools now. That's going to get bumped up now that, you know, everything's going to get – these guys are going to get paid. The NCAA ruling coming out that they're going to even get more money. So a lot of these programs are going to have $5 to $7 million rosters. And, you know, you speak about UCLA. UCLA has always been cheap as a California district school here, man. They've been cheap. They've been relying on, you know, just the school name. School name don't win you nothing no more. If you're not paying players, you're not going to win. I don't care if you're blue blood or not. At the end of the day, if you want to be blue blood, you better put green in front of it because it's all about the money, man.
UCLA was ranked number one early in the year, by the way. They started off pretty strong, and then they kind of stumbled in the second half.
UCLA is terrible, man. They're terrible. I told you they're going to get rolled by Tennessee. That was like a lock before a lock was even on my tournament board.
I mean, UCLA has got a $51 million athletic department, like, financial deficit right now. Like, they can't even afford to pay the bills right now, let alone buy some players.
Exactly.
So heading into the Sweet 16, it kicks off on Thursday. So, Aaron, you got any favorites for this week?
Yeah,
Jason, how's your bracket?
You know, it's surviving. I will tell you that I picked a ton of favorites as well. I had Auburn as well. I had what else did I had?
You said you had St. John's in your Final Four.
St. John's really jacked everything up, I'll be honest with you. So still got Duke, who I picked to win the national title. Still got Arizona, so that matchup I had locked in. Did not get the BYU call. Did have Bama. Had Houston and Purdue going through. Illinois was going to be my upset. I had them in the first round and then beating Kentucky, but that obviously didn't come through. But I do have the Tennessee pick. Do have Texas Tech, but St. John's losing to Arkansas was probably the big flame out there. Had the one floor in Florida, Maryland. And then I had Michigan State, but had them versus Iowa State. So lost the Ole Miss side there. So what did I get? I don't know. It's 12 teams or something like there. But I think I lost a bunch of the upstates. I went a lot of chalk as well. We did not talk this since I was on the show last week. But I like Aaron, thought it was going to be a lot of favorites and didn't really pick a lot of upsets.
Apparently, a lot of people weren't really surprised that Arkansas beat the shit out of St. John's. It was just like a bad matchup. I guess it happened early in the year. I can't remember what other team it was that St. John lost to. Very similar, very athletic team that switched really well, and St. John just couldn't really adjust. So
the problem with St. John's that they talked about all day was they're not a really good shooting team. So if you got a quick athletic team like Arkansas and you can stay in front of them, you're going to force teams to shoot from the perimeter. Their best player, who was benched basically the last 5 minutes of the game, was 3 for 17. I think there was a stat that St. John's had missed like almost double digit layups or dunks. I mean, shots right at the rim.
They
weren't all perimeter shots. Give Arkansas a ton of credit. They started out 0-5 in the SEC, but they just got one of their better players back. He was out 6 weeks, I believe, like a broken thumb or something. They've got another good player that's not back yet that may be back. Arkansas is a problem, man. I think they're going to beat Texas Tech. I think they're going to get to the Elite Eight, likely to play Florida. I mean, I like this Maryland team. I just don't think they have enough depth to beat Florida. I think I see Florida advancing there. So I think I got Florida versus Arkansas there in the Elite Eight matchup there. I'm going to stick with my Elite Eight, Auburn, Michigan State. Auburn matches up really well with Michigan. They'd be too quick, too athletic for them. And Mississippi, Michigan State's going to be a really good matchup. Mississippi's good. Talented team. Chris Bard there has done a great job. He was the coach at Texas. Texas just hired Sean Miller away from Xavier.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chris Bard got fired from Texas or let go for, you know, beating up on his fiance a few years ago. So they removed him from that position.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, I think he did.
No charges.
I think he did, and then she withdrew the charges because he told her, hey, babe, I'm going to lose out on that $40 million. So she changed her story, but Texas wasn't buying it. But that's the real scoop.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly,
yeah.
But
must stay away from that.
Yeah. Duke, Arizona, great classic 2001 NCAA title championship game. I think Arizona can give them a run for their money, but Duke's going to be too much. I like BYU to upset Bama and get to the Elite Eight.
Of course you do.
Houston, they've got Purdue. Houston's just too quick, athletic. They'll beat Purdue. And then Tennessee, Kentucky is going to be a really, really good game. That could go either way. I'm leaning Tennessee, but Kentucky could win that one. They're a sneaky team. If Kentucky's on their game, they're going to be a tough out.
Jason.
I mean, I still really like Duke. That's why I picked him to go there. I agree with Aaron just watching about the Arkansas take. I didn't – obviously, I'm not going to lie to you that I watched a ton of college basketball this year. new Calipari was going to get some talent in there because it's what he always does. But, like, was very impressed with them versus Kansas and how they were able to do it, even though Kansas was down. And I think just St. John's, the little I'd seen this year, I know you're talking about the matchup thing, but I think – Calipari's always got the talent. It's just always putting it together on the floor, and it really seems like he's got something there. That Tennessee-Kentucky game, I think it's going to be super close, but I Tennessee was pretty impressive, I think, versus UCLA in kind of a tougher matchup. Houston obviously smoked the first round versus whatever. That game was almost like a pass-through. You know, pretty good game versus Gonzaga. Purdue could question who they've played so far since they beat High Point and McNeese. You know, have they been challenged? But Purdue does, you know, have some stuff there. I still like Houston kind of going into, but like when you went into what the Final Four was going to be, you know, still like, you know, these top one seeds to go through. Aaron liking BYU, interesting pick. Bama's been pretty good versus these couple versus these first two games, but I still think Bama's gonna win that game.
Okay, well, we're gonna know who's in the Final Four after this weekend. So, like, who you guys got in the Final Four?
At this point, go ahead, Aaron.
I mean, all four of my Final Four teams are still around. I still like Auburn. Like I said, I think they beat Michigan State. Florida is going to play Arkansas. It feels like if Calipari gets there, he probably maybe sneaks into the Final Four. He seems to always, every time he goes to a new school, he gets to the Final Four. But I'm still going to take Florida to beat them.
Okay.
Duke's just too much for Arizona and too much for either BYU or Alabama. They're too deep, too big, too much size. They'll get there. And then Houston, whether it's Kentucky or Tennessee, I had it versus Tennessee. I'm going to say Kentucky gets to the Final Four. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that's going to be my new sneak. Even though I got Houston, I think if Kentucky beats Tennessee, they'll end up beating Houston. They match up well against them.
Wow. You know, I was kind of shocked that that Ole Miss beat up on Iowa State. Iowa State, I actually watched a few of their games this year. And that was kind of shocking.
I mean, Ole Miss looked great in the first half versus North Carolina and kind of took it off the gas a little bit in the second half, allowed North Carolina to get back in the game. But
they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah,
Ole Miss.
They're peaking at the right time. And, you know, even though they had a bad, you know, I would say not a great second half, let North Carolina come in that game, they came out versus Iowa State and really made a statement too. You know, I still think for them, Michigan State, I still think it's a better team there. I think the matchup with Auburn, I still think Auburn beats Michigan and Auburn beats Michigan State to go to the Final Four. I already said Duke over Arizona and then Duke beating, for me, Alabama. So you get the ones and ones in those rounds. Florida over Maryland, like Aaron said, I think Maryland a really strong team, but I think Florida, you know, has been, you know, a really great team all season. And I would take them to win that game. I had originally said them beating over St. John's just isn't there. At this point, I agree with Aaron that Arkansas beats Texas Tech, but I still think Florida beats Calipari and goes to the Final Four themselves. So I guess I'm going to be boring as heck and say Houston will then beat Tennessee, and it's going to be all 4-1 seeds in the Final Four. So he's all super right. boring.
A couple things interesting, though. I mean, you've got Mississippi playing really well. They've got Michigan State. If there's an upset to look for, I think Mississippi can beat Michigan State. I got them advancing. But we could have an all – interesting, you could have Auburn versus Mississippi, all SEC, and then Florida versus Arkansas, all SEC in the Elite Eight, and those two in the Southwest brackets to get to the Final Four. Another thing we didn't really look at, if Michigan happens to beat Auburn and Michigan State beats Mississippi, you got Michigan versus Michigan State in an Elite Eight to get to a Final Four, which could set up to be a really, really good matchup.
That's a lot of bad blood between those two schools. Yeah, so this is the first tournament that the whole Sweet 16 is comprised entirely of power conferences. First time since the bracket has expanded to 64 teams in 85. Jason's coveted berth here. And SEC, 7 teams out of the 16. Big 12 tied their best showing with 4 teams in the Sweet 16. So SEC and Big 12 dominating.
Yeah, I mean,
majority.
We talked about power conferences, but the ACC has been terrible. I mean, the only one to win a game was really Duke. I mean, North Carolina won a play-in game, but outside of Duke, I mean, the ACC has been pretty awful this tournament.
Well, SEC has never been this great, so this is kind of a weird year, isn't it?
It is, but to Aaron's point, if the SEC is going to invest into basketball now and turn themselves into a power scout, well, what does the ACC have at this point? Because they are the third or fourth football conference. They can't get any powers there besides Clemson for the last decade and a half, and now you're going to be giving away your bread and butter of basketball to another conference too. Dark times for the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten is good, and they've got money. I mean, the Big Ten's got a lot of good teams. They got Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue, all those teams right now into the Sweet 16. They've had a good tournament run here as well. But yeah, I mean, the ACC outside of Duke, which has always been basically what basketball's been, North Carolina's not looking great. I expect them to rebound, but outside of those two teams, where do they go? There's just NC State just hired Wade from McNeese State. So he's a good coach, but got in some trouble there at LSU. But he can coach. He can recruit. He knows how to spend NIL money. So I expect NC State to be a program going forward in the ACC that gets better over the years.
Yeah, his equipment manager has a 6-figure NIL deal and is going to NC State with him to get more NIL money. That's wild.
Why can't we get some NIL money on this damn show, bro?
I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like,
should have been an equipment manager. Apparently, we got the wrong gig.
Let's take a quick break. When we get back, a little NBA action. Time for a little NBA action. As we got some movement in both conferences, who's in, who's out. A lot of the movement's been mainly in the middle of the pack, as you got Cavs and Celtics just way above and beyond everybody else. Knicks have been kind of struggling. We saw that happening. Pacers have been stepping up lately. And I think, I guess the Bulls as well have been on fire as they beat the shit out of my Lakers a couple nights ago. Could have been last night. Can't remember. As the Lakers got beat again by Orlando. They're just taking turns getting beat by mid-tier teams on the East Coast. I heard some guys saying the Lakers are going to just like destroy the Magic, but the Magic are a good team. They're a good team. They have big wins. I really like them. That was not a shoe-in, so I'm not surprised by that one. The Bulls I was, but solid team.
The Magic are 34-38.
It's a good team. Their guys have been injured a lot.
A lot of good players have been injured. If the Magic are right, they're a 5 or 6 seed in the East.
I mean, you're so dismissing the Bulls, 8-2 in their last 10. But you know, you're just saying the Magic are good. You know, I'm just questioning Rome here about his Lakers.
They're 8-2 and still 32-40.
But Rome, I'm going to say this right now. The Bulls do not have to win another game this year with a month basically to go, and they're in the play-in tournament. They're about the only team you can say that, because if the Lakers did not win another game, they might get eliminated from the playoffs. Just put that on your calendar.
Wait, how many games are left in this season?
I don't know, but the Bulls do not need to win another game. And they're
ridiculous, dude. They have the Bulls to win the game.
No.
The Bulls
I guarantee the Bulls can lose the rest of their games and be in.
If the Raptors have whatever.
They have 10 games left because they've played 72 games. So they have 10 games left, the Bulls. The best thing is the Heat are the 10th seed. They are 5.5 games up from losing it, and they're 1-9 in their last game.
They've been 1-9. It's been a tank job like no other.
I think they played the Bulls once or twice during that stretch. So the Bulls are balling. Rome, you're not giving any credit. The Bulls went into crypto. LeBron's return and smacked him and Bronny James in the face with a 31-point victory.
You know, speaking of Bronny, I was on Instagram and I was like, what's up with all these Bronny highlights? Like, oh, the most points he's scored ever. I'm like, are we getting our ass kicked in this game? Because I'm not seeing any Lakers scores. It's just Bronny highlights. Then I go back.
That game they were playing on a back-to-back, I think they had 3 games in 4 days or something like that.
Yeah.
I was in Vegas during it. We literally were watching the Lakers game as we were in dinner.
Oh, really?
My friends were like, I think the Lakers were like 6 or 7 point dogs at home or something like that. And they're like, oh, they're sitting everybody.
Yeah, I guess the Bucks,
Bronny was
the Bucks. So, the Bucks.
Yeah, so they sat everybody. They're like 7 point dogs or something. So Bronny, like, that was his like career game, and we're just watching him just getting destroyed by the Bucks. But like, it's all Bronny, and then LeBron sitting on the bench watching him. I felt bad for Bronny, to be honest. I'm just like, cool, we're gonna focus all this energy, time, and energy to like a late second round pick that like. I don't know. Like I was talking to my friends about this too, because I'm like, I feel bad for Bronny to a lot of degree because, okay, you can say he doesn't belong in the league, yada yada yada. But how many like late second round picks like belong in the league? Like he's getting a shot,
not that many.
The same time, yeah. But if we were to throw some other like second round pick in garbage time and stuff like that's just be 12th man at the end of the bench. Like we're not saying, oh, this guy doesn't deserve to be in the league too. So like I get it, but at the same time, it's like. It's not like he's playing crunch time for the Lakers right now, and we're trying to get stuff out.
Someone was like comparing him and like everyone else, like in late second round picks. He's actually doing pretty well in the G League, like getting 20 plus points, 6 plus assists, 6 plus rebounds, kind of like his dad just in the G League. But 16 points still is pretty solid in the NBA. I think he's doing pretty good.
I would say the biggest thing. No basketball expert myself. This is not even original take from people I've heard. I think the biggest thing about Bronny is like he's not getting, I think, enough time in the G League from a developmental standpoint. Like if he's going to turn into like just, hey, he's going to be a serviceable bench rotation guy in the NBA in the next like 5 to 7 years or something like that. He's not getting the reps because he's just coming up to these Lakers games to play garbage time minutes and not get like practice. We're like, hey, he could be on the G League team. Playing full games, getting reps against, good competition, not necessarily like top tier NBA competition, but like, what's the plan for his development? Or are we just going to do kind of the show? I think that's probably the biggest detriment to the whole thing for Bronny is like, is he getting better, but just these brief stints up with the big team versus, hey, going down to the G League and working on the craft and getting better that way.
Well, I mean, he should still be in college. I mean, if he wasn't LeBron's kid, he wouldn't have even been drafted. I mean, he basically lost his first year because he had the cardiac arrest. So he basically didn't play till like halfway through the season. And then they monitored his minutes. He only averaged like 3.4 points a game in college at USC.
And honestly, man, that probably had a big impact on his development, is the cardiac arrest.
Definitely.
I totally forgot about that.
So, like, in LeBron, is he going to retire this year next? Wanted to always play with his sons. Like, hey, dude, like you just got to come in the league now because I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay around.
He's not retiring next year anymore.
Yeah, but you never know how the season's going to play out. Like, if the Lakers,
that's true.
If they didn't trade for Luka, if they get into the play-in tournament and they're out in the first round, does he retire? Right?
Yeah,
I mean, things change.
Luka changed it.
Yeah. So, like, Bronny realistically should be a sophomore or redshirt freshman in college playing in the NCAA tournament. They don't need the money. He could have gotten his own NIL deal, played at USC or transferred, whatever he wanted to do.
He was going to transfer. Where was he going to transfer to, though? I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Well, his brother's going to Arizona, right?
Yeah, he's committed to Arizona.
Dude, he's good.
He's a lot taller. He's like 6'7", 6'8". He's built more like, LeBron's height. So
he plays like Horace Grant.
He's got that kind of look to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got that look to him, man.
He has like this weird, like stocky dribble, but he shoots it like silk. He's a lot different player than his brother. I don't want to give Bronny any more airtime here, but
more airtime.
My ratings might go up. The Bronny talk too, man. We're about. Whew, it's gonna go down with that. You know, there's a mute button, right? You know, there's a mute.
Yeah, he said he's done talking about it. Right? That's how much he's allergic to it. I think we need to get back on F1 then, since that's what the listeners want.
Exactly.
Well, he was sneezing during F1.
I wasn't.
What about your girl? Oh, you already announced your girl Juju got out for the ACL tear, right?
No, we haven't. We'll talk about that next. But, well, yeah, we briefly talked about it. But I guess we'll talk about women's college basketball real quick. 60 seconds or less. I like watching the women's game. It helps that there's like a lot of pretty girls down playing basketball.
Rome, let's just be honest. You're just watching because there's more attractive women playing the game now.
Of course, yeah. But like they're not bad.
No,
you know? like Paige Beckers and like there's a few others. Like they're fun to watch.
Rome,
but they don't need 64 teams though. They really don't. Like all the top teams are just like it's just top heavy in women's basketball, and they're destroying the shit out of everyone else. It's not even fun to watch. Maybe so that's why my daughter didn't want to watch it. I don't know.
Your daughter definitely did not distinguish that, but I will say why you're not wrong. If you think back to like UConn's heyday, though, it used to be way less competitive teams. It used to be like, hey, there was three teams with a chance to win it. Now I think there's a legit, you know, there's a legit hierarchy of good women's college basketball programs that you're getting out there because you know, you still have UConn with Paige Beckers, like you talked about, that's still good. You know, South Carolina has been a team that's, you know, been up there. UCLA is not exactly like, you know, legacy, like huge powerhouse.
They're really good
in the women's game, but they're really good. You know, Duke and North Carolina, they've been good for a long time, but for the women, they're still pretty dominant. Texas, you know, good this year. Tennessee, you know, kind of making, I mean, they haven't been, you know, hugely a dominant since Pat Summitt retired. Notre Dame's got a really good women's program. So like, while it is heavy from the 64 teams, like you're talking about, I still think there's a lot more depth than when like Gino Auriemma was just winning this thing every year and every top women's basketball player in the country went to UConn or Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, there's about eight women's teams. I mean, like Jason said, when we were 10, 15 years ago, it was Tennessee, UConn, mix in Stanford and Notre Dame. That was it. That was like your final four all the time. So now you've got, you know, Duke's gotten good, USC's, UCLA, Iowa, South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina. So it's more interesting, but agree, Rome, like 16 teams, maybe even 32 would be fine. Like Jason had mentioned, like, hey, let's just go like all power conference. Let's just do a women's power conference tournament.
Well, everyone in the 16, I guess just like the men's, it's just all the top teams.
Yeah, but I mean, you have first round tournament games. I want to say like the number one seeds in women's basketball were winning like 90-20. I mean, it was like pretty bad. I mean, USC won today without Juju by like 50 points.
Yeah, UConn number two seed won 103-34 versus Arkansas State.
On one side of the bracket, you have both one seeds, both two seeds, both three seeds, and a four and five seed. On the other side of the bracket, you have both one seeds, both two seeds, both three seeds, and both five seeds. So the four seeds got swept up on the other side. But, yeah, pretty top heavy. So the Sweet 16 at least should be a lot of fun for the women's too. It's going to suck with Juju being out because they're pretty good. They upset UCLA a couple times this year, except for the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, but I think at this point, like, you're probably right about the first two rounds, Rome, but I think you're going to get into it from the Sweet 16 perspective. And I mean, when you looked at women's college basketball last couple years, you know, the star power that they had and the interest, I think comparing it to women's college basketball like a decade or more ago, like, there is a general rise in interest, you know, for this tournament. Like you said, you're watching it. I think a lot of other people, obviously Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and stuff, played into it these last few years, but I think there's still a general like increase in, you know, the interest in women's college basketball and even the women's pro basketball too. Like, is it going to ever be the NBA ratings or the men's college basketball ratings? Probably not, but like,
it shouldn't be.
but it shouldn't be. But live sports, I think you're just taking in, like, you know, niche stuff here and there. I mean, we did 30 minutes on Formula One. Formula One does like a million viewers in the U.S., like on ESPN, you know, at midnight. But like, you know, a million people are watching it. Where, hey, you get a good women's college basketball game, you know, they get a million five viewers too. So like, I think there's, you know, there's different levels to which sports can be. You can't even always compare to the top one. Like, if it is, we just compare it to the NFL, and the NFL just craps on everything. But, you know, the variety of topics, you know, this time of year right now, you got college basketball, we got baseball, you know, kicking off. We're going to have, you know, we're talking a ton of racing. You know, you got hockey and basketball, you know, going down the prime steps. Like, this is, you know, there is sports everywhere right now. And so not everything can have 30 million people watching every single game. You know, there's too much to digest right now. Just like prestige TV, Rome, you know, you're just still getting Yellowstone and we're past it. And I'm going to give you 5 more TV shows that are just great that you need to catch up on.
Dude, how the hell did we get on this topic?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what also hurts the women's game in the tournament is it's going on the same time as the men's. Like, it's literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then you have the men's. And another thing that's a problem with women's that would help them out, but I don't know how you would do it, is how do you handicap the games? How do you come up with point spreads? How do you come up with over-unders? Like, if you could gamble on the women's game, I guarantee you it 25 to 50% ratings would go up.
Because there's
just gambling people that are like, dude, like, men's are over, women are on, I want some action. Let's put some money on a game.
You can't bet on women's?
Well, how do you handicap a UConn when they're winning by 80 points? Like, do you want to lay 60 points in a game where you don't know the teams? Like, that's, you know.
I don't know. UConn minus 14.5, according to ESPN right now, versus Oklahoma. So
you can still gamble on it.
I mean, at this point, though, UConn's blowing both teams out. I think I'm putting UConn minus 14.5.
Yeah, I would. I'll take a minus 34.5.
Man, what was the spread on this 103-34 game, though?
But that's what I mean. I don't think they had a spread on that game.
Dude, I think that was like a couple games. It was like a good 60-70 point difference. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, I would feel demoralized to make it to the tourney and then just get beat by somebody else that much. That's not fun. All right. Back to the NBA on the Western Conference. Lakers, as I think we're just basically like the middle of the Western Conference, have been like on like a 500 slide here. Nuggets, Lakers, Grizzlies, everyone that's in the 3 through 5 slot. Rockets have been on fire, 9-1 the last 10 games. They did lose last night, I believe, but they've re-secured that second seed, and it looks like the way the rest of their schedule plays out, they have a pretty good chance of just locking that in. Then you have everyone else that's kind of battling out. Golden State has been playing well as the Clippers. Aaron went to the game last night against the Thunder, and Bill Simmons was there as well. And he was talking about how that felt like a second, third round playoff matchup. And you could tell us a little bit about the game, Aaron, but then you also have the Timberwolves in the 8th spot. Suns won tonight, so
I like how you just dismissed Aaron going to the game and just started talking about Bill Simmons.
I said we'll circle back to it.
So well, Aaron was there, but Bill Simmons was there, and he said X, Y, and Z, and da 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 da.
You know, no one circle back to it.
Yeah, no one really gives a crap what Bill's got to say. You know, I was there at the game, as you mentioned, Rome. Interesting side point.
Simmons is ready to talk. He's at that game, and he's ready to talk about the Celtics for like another like 30-40 minutes.
Yeah. Interesting, Rome. The last game I was at for an NBA game, one of the two teams playing went on to win the NBA title. So maybe that's something to foresee here if you're a Thunder fan. Maybe I brought him some good luck. We'll see. We'll find out.
When's the last time you've been to an NBA game?
Right before the COVID closed out. Bucks,
Jesus
Lakers.
Christ.
Bucks, Lakers. Lakers went on to win that COVID tournament. So, I mean, and here you got the Thunder winning here, so we'll see. Maybe that's a good luck charm here if you're and those teams.
Didn't the Bucks win the next season after that?
How could you go 4 years without going to an NBA game?
Why would I want to go watch the Lakers, man?
Get the hell out of here.
Rome, I think it's been like 9 years since I've been to an NBA game. So.
Probably just, really? In the time before that was probably when me and Jason went and saw like Ben Gordon and the Bulls against the Clippers.
Ben Gordon
and
the Bulls. That was like Aaron and I going to like a Sunday morning game out at Staples, man. Ben Gordon, Luol Deng, and them boys.
Yep.
I did like that team. I did love. Yeah, I really like that Bulls team. It's good stuff. It was like a highlight of Paul Gasol scoring 46 points in a Bulls jersey on today on Instagram. I was like, I totally forgot he signed with the team.
Yeah, that was a good run when the Bulls were just we were getting kind of big free agents. Like when we signed Dwayne Wade, you know, we thought we were really getting someone. We had
he was Wade.
We had Wade. We had Wade. We had early Jimmy Butler and Rajon Rondo. What was going to go wrong?
So much potential there. Anyways, totally forgot what we were talking about. So AD comes back from the Mavs. So they win tonight. They're locked in with the Suns for that final spot. Trailblazers still lingering around, but not playing great basketball.
I think they're playing good ball. They're just playing some tough teams, man. Tough teams, Portland.
You basically got those four teams right there.
Spurs have actually been playing really well since Fox and those guys closed it down, too. They got a couple upset wins.
Surprisingly, yeah, they've been playing 500 balls. So you got Kings, Suns, Mavericks, Trailblazers, and Spurs all right there within a game and a half for the final two spots in the play-in.
I mean, Suns have been interesting. We were talking a couple weeks ago. Were they going to even make the playoffs considering the expectations of this team? I mean, I think they're fortunate with the Mavericks' utter collapse post-Luka trade, but I mean, I think they're in the driver's seat right now with, you know, them winning four straight and really just kind of the Trailblazers, but Mavs just can't really be able to put it together, probably.
You guys want to have some bets?
I'm going to say the Mavs are going to get in if AD is going to keep playing.
Yeah, me too. Really? I wasn't expecting for him to come back.
No, I thought they would shut him down. They're 2-0 with them.
AD's too good.
If AD's coming back, he's coming back to get him into this play-in.
Wait, how many games he got left?
What, 10 you mentioned?
Looks like everyone's got... Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
They're at 72 games, too.
Ten games left, huh? They got a tough stretch. They got the Knicks, Magic, and the Bulls. I mean, the hottest of the hottest teams, or at least teams that can crush up on the Lakers. I don't know if that's saying much right now, but yeah.
Lakers are a little down right now.
You know, J.J. Redick for Coach of the Year. Throw that out the window. That's done. Nah,
you're stupid, dude.
That's done.
He's pretty good, dude.
No, he's done good, but he's not winning Coach of the Year. That award is gone. You can't lose to the Bulls at home by 31 and get Coach of the Year. That's an automatic DQ. That's like a Formula F1, bro. DQ.
Coach of the Year's got to go to either Cleveland or Oklahoma City, right?
I think he's going to the Pistons.
Yeah.
Detroit.
Huh?
Yeah.
I can't remember because I know NFL does that crap where it's not the best team. It's like, which team did us in the media think wasn't going to be good this year and surprised us? That coach gets the Coach of the Year.
That's Detroit.
That is Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say definitely. Kenny Atkinson with Cleveland has done a remarkable job.
Great job.
Udoka with the Rockets. I mean, he's done a really good job. I mean, we knew they'd be better, but to be the 2 seed in the West right now, I didn't see that
without
coming.
An alpha, that's pretty hard to do. Yeah. That's pretty hard. If they get one.
I was going to say, you could quiz me right now. I couldn't name one player on the Rockets.
If you had like multiple choice, I can get a couple of them down, but I couldn't name one right now, to be honest with you.
Fred VanVleet, man. Fred VanVleet.
VanVleet. Is he the number one of the team or what?
I think John Wall's still technically with the team, too.
No way.
Hey, if you say John Wall's in the league, I'll take your word for it, but it seems like he's been out for like 6 years, but every year he ends up on a roster.
Steven Adams is on the team, huh?
No, sorry. Yeah. John Wall's on the Clippers. I think we were talking about this a few weeks ago.
And he's collecting a paycheck from somebody. Yeah, they got Adams, but some guy named Thompson.
Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, they got Dylan Brooks.
All right, dude, Jalen Green's really good.
Yeah.
Alperen Sengun, he's really awesome.
They got Jeff Green. Aaron, I had him on fantasy when we were playing fantasy basketball like 15 years ago.
He's still in the league?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They might even have John Wall, too, according to Rome. So they might be like the old man's league, Uncle Drew over there.
I'm on Thompson. You know, it was like a rumor that KD should force his way to Houston because that would probably give him the best chance to win a championship next year.
I don't think he wants to play with Udoka, dude. He don't put up with that shit, man.
What? Discipline?
Yeah.
Or sleeping with each other's wives?
What do you? What is he going to sleep with KD's wife or what?
KD's not married, dude. He's never been married.
That's smart, man. That's why he just goes from town to town.
That's how Jeter did it, man. That's why he had that Hall of Fame resume.
He was way better on the streets than on the field. Jeter? Yeah. He was okay. He was okay, shortstop.
I mean, he's got, four rings on the field? Only
four rings.
Yeah. Off.
Yeah. Four rings, 3,000 hits. I think he did all right.
Yeah, he did okay.
He did pretty damn good.
I just wasn't a big Jeter guy.
No, I wasn't either.
That was one of the all-time graphics where they posted Jeter's like starting nine, like dating history. Like
I remember that.
Yeah, like Tyra Banks in left field, Jessica Alba in center field, Jessica Biel in right field.
I'm just jealous with the Jessicas. I'm just jealous already. Jessica Biel from Seventh Heaven. I remember her when she broke out. Jessica Alba. She's still fine.
I probably took down the dangerous road, Aaron. Rome's just like delirious right now. Me just saying this.
Yeah, he's got a notebook of all these names. Like, as soon as he's saying, he's like, "Oh, let me check my notebook. Oh yeah, I remember her. Oh yeah, she's tied to him. Oh my god, yeah." He's like a soap opera, dude. When it comes to women and dating,
I don't know who dates who. I just remember when I was at the Oscar party. Every time I see Jeff Goldblum on the screen, I just get irritated because I was at the Oscar party. It was like before I moved up here in San Francisco. I'm there talking to some beautiful women. I'm representing like a few talent. Got done talking to Chaka Khan. She was like really sexy and flirty and everything like that. And then Jeff Goldblum just comes around. I'm like, who's this motherfucker? Dressed all dapper, dude. Vest, this checkered suit. And then he just like says, "Hello, ladies," like something like really cheesy as fuck. Jumps on the stage and starts playing piano like a jazz quartet, starts busting out. He just takes all the girls I was talking to. I still think about that. That's why I see him on the screen.
I like that guy, man. I do.
Killed my game. Not for the whole night, just that batch of girls. All right. Looks like we don't have much to talk about NBA because we did so many side quests on this one. So I guess we'll ramp it up on the next one and see what happens with the Lakers, Nuggets, and everybody else as we get closer. 10 games left, man. That's crazy. You know what? I haven't been to an NBA game this year yet, so maybe I can squeeze one out.
Well, you been can to a go, couple hockey games, though, you know? Big, you're the big hockey guy.
You do, have the regional final. Elite Eight in Sweet 16 up there at the Chase Center, Rome.
Yeah, I know. It's this weekend.
So tickets aren't going to be expensive for that.
Let's look it up real quick.
Because you can get the best day to go to be the Sweet 16, whatever Thursday, Friday that is. That way you get the two games. That's better than just the one game on a Saturday, Sunday. And that gives you Florida versus Maryland and St. John's or Arkansas, Texas Tech, man. That's yeah, pretty John's good games.
Enough. What am I going to see? Arkansas?
Calipari's a good guy.
Wait, they're selling fast. Let's see. All right, StubHub. What do we got? Like 180 for the cheapest? That's oh,
not,
man.
That's not too bad.
Lower level, best deal would be 382. Right behind one of the baskets. Row 25. When you sit up high, it's all about like what row you are in. Yeah. Yeah, like if you're down...
You got to remember, you also get two games if you go to whatever Thursday that is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you get to watch Florida versus Maryland and Texas Tech versus Arkansas. So you get two games.
Oh, dude, how much beer can you drink in two games? That's dangerous. I'll think about it.
You got to pace yourself like 1.5. That way you only get 4 and then some cocktails after.
Jesus, that sounds like a lot.
For beer, it is a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Be careful.
Like $20 beers.
He couldn't finish after that, whatever, third or fourth shot. He couldn't finish the Chinese Grand Prix, Aaron. So I don't know. Two basketball games might be a lot.
I'm not going to go into the whole story. Me and Rome talked off air, but I understand why he was on the shots. I understand. We're not going to. That's a controversy segment. We're not ready to go there. We're not ready to go there. But, I'm not going to go there.
I needed the shots.
Yeah, he needed the shots.
All right.
But as you mentioned, Jason, not only that, he struggled hanging with us out here in the IE at BJ's. I mean, so he That's at true. Restaurant. That's true. So it's It basically knocked him out for almost 2 weeks before we got the band back together. This is the first time the band's been back together since that famous BJ's dinner.
I'll have to see what happens after the Chili's dinner next time, or Wood Ranch, depending where the next
dinner
is. It's going to
be Wood Ranch,
you
know? Followed by Chili's. I already got it mapped out. I'm doing Wood All Ranch. Right. I've been driving by Wood Ranch too much, and I've just been like, I've been waiting to curve in, but I don't want to spoil myself before we do it.
This guy at barbecue, man, Eric gets a big hard on with every time you mention barbecue.
It's hey, man, it's good. I go to Wood Ranch every Friday, man.
You mentioned that. What do you get every Friday?
Hey, have you ever you ever gone to Badlands Barbecue in Norco?
Once.
Okay.
Once. It's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. That's where we go, Rome.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That's like some of the best barbecue I've had in a long time. That's really good. It's called Badlands.
Yeah.
I don't like the name.
I don't care what the name is, as long as the food quality is good.
It's food's good.
It's like Chili's. Like, Chili's, I don't think burgers and ribs, but, you know, I got to get my baby bag ribs.
Now, there's a famous gay bar here in San Francisco called Badlands, and you don't want to be there late at night.
I don't want to know what you do in your after hours, Rome. That's between you and that crowd.
We're just talking about some barbecue, man. Going back to the Wood Ranch, you know, get the
lots
tri-tip.
Of Wood Ranch there.
Try.
Yeah. With a side of ranch, too.
I'd be careful.
Yeah.
There's a tri-tip, quadruple tip, a lot of tips. You can't stick around for the 2-for-1 Red Bull and vodka, that's for sure. You have to leave before 10 o'clock.
Was this the controversy segment you're talking about, Aaron? Is this why he had the multiple shots, or what was going on?
No. That wasn't.
I might have to edit out this anyways.
That's fine.
For sure should be.
Yeah.
Patreon. All right. Patreon, $5 for our UK listeners.
It's starting to get at that time where we all get delirious and we're just laughing about shit.
We're just giggling. It is like a quarter to 12.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you guys go. That does it.